Today we take a deeper look into an area that's generating a lot of attention at the moment, weddings. Of course, we look into the business side of this ever-popular ritual. We speak to four businesses today who make it their business to focus on weddings. Today's show is made possible by our good friends at eView Real Estate. Our first guest today is a publisher and founder of Toast Wedding Magazine, Tash Mathers. Hello.
Hi, Jackie.
How nice to have you here. Good, thank you. Now, I thought it was a good place to start. We've got you today as a publisher and producer of this really popular magazine. We've also got a photographer today, which we'll meet in a minute. We've also got a hairdresser, makeup artist, and beauty extraordinaire. We'll meet her shortly. And also a wedding celebrant that we've got on today. So we're looking at four different elements. But I wanted to start with you running a wedding magazine, I suppose. You get to communicate and liaise with all different sorts of businesses in weddings. And the Mornington Peninsula is a very popular place for weddings. How did Toast Magazine start?
It is a very popular place to get married, and it's grown over the last 11 years we've been publishing the magazine.
11 years you've been doing it?
11 years.
Goodness.
And it started way back when, in 2006, when I got married myself. And with my background of graphic design, I sort of thought, oh, there's no real resource for people wanting to get married down here.
Okay, yeah.
So I thought, I'll just start a little magazine. And I did.
And so did you have any publishing experience? I mean, you said you had a graphic design background, so that would have helped a lot. But what did you learn about getting into the publishing business? Because it's a different business altogether in a way.
Yeah, it is a different business. And I think sometimes when you start a new business, it's good to go in a bit green and a bit naive, and you just give it a go and you learn along the way.
Because if you know what it's really about, you probably wouldn't do
probably wouldn't have done it.
So what has been some of your biggest lessons as a publisher over the last 11 years?
I think cash flow. A few years ago we offered people payment plans over 12 months. Mm. And with when you are publishing a magazine, a lot of your costs come in the first few months of publishing, and we are an annual magazine, so that nearly did us in, but we survived and then sort of got a bit smarter about that and reworked our payment plans for our vendors.
That's great advice for anyone looking at starting any business about cash flow. I always say it's the biggest problem. But anyway, you survived that, you got over that?
We survived, and we're sort of a bit of a unique business. We've got the two target markets. Our target market for our revenue is wedding vendors and venues on the Mornington Peninsula, as well as the brides. So we talk to the brides, who then, you know, we've got to get the brides to book our vendors, so then they rebook with our magazine. So it's a bit of a sort of target market triangle. So it's different communications and strategies for each of those.
And do you offer wedding planning services as well as part of that?
No, we don't personally. We publish the magazine. We promote the Mornington Peninsula region and all the vendors that service this area, and do lots of styled shoots.
So in the 11 years you've been running it, has there been any changes that you've noted? Or is it just the same as it was 11 years ago?
I think the calibre of wedding vendors down on the peninsula has really gone to the next level. It's really, really professional, lots of talented creatives, lot more, I guess, sole traders, people working for themselves.
Oh, you've actually seen an increase in that.
Yeah, sort of stepping away from working for the big guns and working for themselves.
Is there any particular areas that's grown a lot, like you're seeing an onslaught of photographers or an onslaught of wedding planners or day spas or venues? I mean, is there, you know, a glut of any particular area or an area that's grown quite quickly?
I think a lot of areas are getting quite competitive, and I'm sure Linda can touch on this with celebrants. I think that's a bit of an oversupply in that department.
Oh, we'll be talking to Linda about what makes her so different there. Yes. I'll have a little competition to stand out.
Yeah, but there's lots more photographers. I think one of the biggest growth areas in weddings, especially on the peninsula, has been florals. I think a lot more people are spending more money on, you know, that extra wow factor at their weddings.
They?
You know, not just the bouquet. They'll do table centrepieces and aerial installations. And
is that called wedding styling?
Wedding styling, yeah, floral styling.
And so that's a big growth area as well.
I think so.
What's your prediction for the future of weddings? Are they still going to be as popular as they are now? Or do you think they'll, I mean, I don't, I was thinking about it, and obviously with the new marriage laws that I think will come in. Mm-hmm. It's obviously had a focus on marriage and weddings, but then you hear about people renewing their wedding vows. I mean, is that a new trend, or is that something that's always happened?
I think it's probably a small portion of the market, and a lot of people might just do that at their home. Mm. It's not really a celebrated out and about event from a business perspective.
Yeah. If the yes vote gets up, which we're all predicting it will, and mm-hmm. gay marriage is legalised in Australia, mm. That's going to, I would think, have a big impact on your industry in a positive way.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a great thing, and I think it's just a matter of time. And, yeah, it would certainly impact the wedding industry and just drive more business for business owners in that area.
You've kindly brought a friend along, and I love a pun. So we're going to look at this wedding business from a different angle. And the puns on that. Because she's a wedding photographer and she's been there madly nodding. So I'm dying to find out your opinion. I'd like to welcome to the show Anne Scott Virtue from White Shutter Photography. Anne, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jackie. How are you?
Really well. Good that you're all here. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's interesting, all women. I'm going to touch on that a bit later on if that's, I suppose that's, is that normal, in particularly in the photography area? Do you get more women photographers than men, or is it a pretty even split?
I think that women are definitely on a forefront. Like we're getting up there. It used to be a boys club, but there's some really extraordinary female photographers out there, and we work just as hard as the boys do. So yeah, definitely.
Okay, I can hear. Can you hear someone working really hard in the background there? There's some hammering and things going on here at the station. Talking about working hard. Now, from a photography perspective, what are some of the trends that you've seen with, because you do a lot of weddings, is that primarily your business, weddings?
Yeah, yeah.
I imagine, so I'm with a name like White Shutter Photography, yes.
Yes, so I specialise and focus on weddings and lifestyle photography. Mm. And I guess, look, I've been a photographer for over 12 years now, but I've only been doing weddings or sort of focusing on weddings for the last 3 years. And there's definitely trends that have come in, they've changed, you know, the wedding photography side of things. There's a lot more room for creativity. Couples are a lot more into the natural and candid style of photography rather than having the really staged kind of stuff. And it's more like a documentary style. So you follow them around all day long and, you know, document all the moments, the, you know, the ugly and the pretty moments, everything that's in between.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that, because gone are the days, you know, you'd go to the church and then you'd have an hour or two before the reception, so you'd go to the local pub, and that hour or two was because the photos were being taken. So you'd go to one location in the gardens and take the photos, then you'd go back to reception. So you're saying now it's not just those 2 hours, it's right at the beginning, so you're getting photos of the bride getting ready and the groom getting right through.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully not during the honeymoon, I would think.
I haven't been invited on any honeymoons yet, but it's a really nice way to, I guess, to relive the day. I got married myself 2 years ago and I did it in that style, and it's really nice to, you know, relive the entire day, because there's so many different emotions that you go through. You know, in the morning there's all the excitement and, you know, the hair and makeup happens and all your girls are around you, all the boys, and, you know, you put your dress on and, you know, the nerves are starting to come in, your dad sees you for the first time in the dress, all of those little moments. And I tell all my bride and grooms that, you know, take time and, you know, take a breather and take it all in, because the day goes so quickly. And even though I'm aware of it so much, like, I woke up the next day after my wedding day and I was like, oh my god, what just happened, can we do it again? And, you know, I'm so glad that I have all these images to relive every moment of that day. And yeah, so I think it's a really nice thing that, you know, we as photographers get given so much freedom these days. I had a wedding a couple of weeks ago and they gave me 6 hours between the church and the reception. And we just, you know, we went all over the country and, you know, photographed and had a picnic. And it's, I think it's, you know, it's your day. Do what you want to do and do what reflects who you are as a couple. And, you know, if you want to stick to some tradition, that's great. But at the end of the day, weddings have changed an awful lot over the years. And I think it's really important that you do what's important to you as a couple and not necessarily what family member want, family members want you to do.
I can see why you're a popular photographer. You're almost a wedding counsellor as well. And I suppose keeping the your subjects or your talent, bride and groom or groom and groom or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and the family and things, keeping them calm and relaxed would be important, because that then gets good photos from that, doesn't it?
It's crucial. I think the way I sort of approach my business is that your vibe attracts your tribe.
Mm.
And I think...
Okay, I like that. Your vibe reflects your tribe.
Yeah, your vibe attracts your tribe. And I think the people that I get to work with, I really try and tap into, you know, the kind of couple that they are, and, you know, try and tap into the relationship that they have and how they tick and what's their couple's dynamic, and, you know, get to know people, and people appreciate that, and they will open up to you, and they will deliver so much more, and they trust you, and they trust in your vision, and, you know, they hired you because they trust in your vision, and you have to have confidence in that, and then just go on and enjoy what you do.
Yeah. How do you get work? Is it mainly word of mouth, or how do you get it?
Well, it's word of mouth, and social media obviously is a big thing.
Of course, and because of what you do. Yeah,
I've joined the Toast community a couple of years ago, and I have to say it's actually the only print magazine that I advertise with, and I've really enjoyed the community that Tash and Carrie, you know, take care of so lovingly, and it's a really beautiful area to come to, and to get so much work, you know, just purely by being involved with this group, it's awesome. And the Mornington Peninsula attracts, you know, the big weddings and the little weddings. It attracts elopements. It attracts all kinds of weddings. And yeah. I think that's I'm so proud and happy to be part of this community.
Oh, that's nice, Tash, isn't it? Oh, it is. No wonder you brought her along with you.
That was lovely to have you in it.
The Mornington Peninsula, and I don't normally do local shows, so today's a little bit odd, but because of the wedding topic today, it's a perfect topic, because there's so much variety down here. You don't have to travel very far to go to a winery, to the beach. There's so many different, I suppose, from a visual perspective, from a photographic, that you can actually do that really quickly. Where if you're in Melbourne and you're in the, you know, the Treasury Gardens or something, it's sort of limiting. And then to go down to Port Melbourne Beach, it's quite a distance and things. Where here, it's a much
easier. Absolutely. Like if you compare the Mornington Peninsula to the Yarra Valley, for instance, the Yarra Valley is beautiful, but it's all wineries, and you don't have a variety. Where down here, you can do winery, you can do big open fields, you can do beach, you can do some epic clifftop stuff. Yeah. Like, from a visual point of view, I love shooting down here. There is so much you can do. And again, if you have a good connection with your couples, and they trust you, you can get them to do some epic stuff.
So, yeah. Well, we've got an epic show today talking about weddings. And when we come back from this break, we're going to meet a wedding celebrant, who's going to give us her views on weddings and all things weddings. And also we meet someone from Nirvana, and she's going to talk about hairdressing and makeup and all that cool stuff. So we are talking weddings here on Taking Care of Business exclusively on Ottawa PFM. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. Hopefully we're entertaining you. That, of course, was Smells Like Teenage Spirit, which is a funny name, but the band, also Nirvana. And we have here Shay Osborne, who has a business with the same name, Nirvana Sorrento. Hi, Shay.
Hi, Jackie.
You like that song?
Love it.
I love that song too. I hadn't heard it for ages, and then I was thinking, what song am I going to put on for Shay? And I went, it's got to be Nirvana. And then it is a really cool song, isn't it?
It is. It's a good one.
Now, tell us about Nirvana and Sorrento. What is it?
So Nirvana is a hair and beauty salon, and we do everything from hair, styling, barbering, makeup, and beauty.
Okay, and you do a lot of work in the wedding space. It's a really key market for your business. Why is it such a big market for your business?
Probably because that's where my heart's at. Mm. I love weddings. I've been mildly obsessed with them since I was a little girl.
did you have a bride doll when you were growing up?
Yeah, I had many Barbies dressed as brides, yeah.
You were made for this. And also it's quite lucrative, isn't it, from a financial perspective. Now, let's talk a business perspective. Doing weddings is quite financially beneficial, because you don't just do one person, you do a whole lot.
Yes.
Bridesmaids and mother of the brides and things like that. And do you just do weddings on the Mornington Peninsula? I think on your Instagram account, you can follow Shay at Nirvana. Is it your Instagram?
Nirvana Sorrento.
Insta. And you do stuff at Yarra Valley. I see you you know,
we're
out
all,
and about.
All across Victoria.
Right.
Obviously, our hair salon and bridal studio is in Sorrento on the Mornington Peninsula, and that's where I'm from. But yes, we provide services for hair and makeup all over Victoria, and I'm more than happy to travel because I see amazing places.
Yeah, well, you take some good photos, I'm sure. Anne, if you, Anne, we've got here Anne Scott Virtue from White Shutter Photography and Tash Bathers from Toast, and Nirvana here, Shay, Miss Nirvana, take some really cool photos. And so tell us about from the wedding industry that you've, how long have you been working in it for?
So I started hairdressing at a very young age of 16, but I have been out on my own since about 2010, specialising in weddings. I've been very lucky to work alongside some amazing hair and makeup artists, and just knew that's where I wanted to be.
So you've run your own business now 7 years?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good sign that you've survived, because it's tough running your own business. What have been some of your key learnings over that time?
I think just to be patient. I think that is the biggest part of my role as someone that works in weddings, whether it's being patient with the customer or whether it's being patient with my personal goals and dreams. I always knew where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And yeah, probably patience has been the key ingredient for me.
That's good. And is there something that you wish you'd known now before you started that you think, I wish someone had told me that before I started?
Not really. I have made a lot of decisions that I can certainly look back on and think, oh, I would have done that differently. But I think they were all lessons that put me to where I am now and probably gave me a better foot forward in now owning a salon and having a actual building and all of that, you know, staff and, yeah, so no, not necessarily.
Do Bridezilla still exist?
All the time.
How do you manage them? Like, what are some of the techniques that you do to sort of calm people down? And
well, look, I believe a lot in energy, and I think that, you know, keeping someone calm in general, especially a bride, is all about your persona and how in control you are. I have worked as a planner and a coordinator for a few years as well, and I found that in those environments you have to be very controlled and composed, and you're dealing with all sorts of events. And I think just also finding what's important to her. What does she want from the day? Or also finding out who's putting pressure on her and how can you sort of intervene or give her advice on how to just stay calm and remember why you're there. It's your love story. It's on display. It's got, you know, everything to do with showcasing that.
I can see your passion, and that's one of your keys to success, Shay Osborne. And one person that is really important in a wedding is the person that marries you, because without them it doesn't happen. So I thought to myself, do I get a priest or do I get a wedding celebrant today? And then I thought I was going to get both at one stage, and I went, no, I think I'll stick with the wedding celebrant. And I actually know this person, and she's really groovy and cool and smart and lovely, and I thought to myself, I have to speak to Linda Sutty, wedding celebrant. Hello.
Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Great. Now, you've just started this gig, and that's the other thing I like about this.
I have.
Is you haven't been doing it forever. So you're really new to it.
Yep.
So what made you become a wedding celebrant?
Well, interestingly enough, I was attending my father-in-law's stepfather-in-law's funeral, and I was talking with the family and with the celebrant, and my mother-in-law had written the eulogy, and I read it and thought, oh, it reads a bit like a history lesson, and I just said, could I just play around with this a little bit, because my background is in writing. And she said, yep, no, that's fine. So I did that, and I made it into a really beautiful story. And I also offered to present it as well, so that it was someone close to the deceased was doing it rather than the celebrant. It had a little bit of a personal touch. So I did that, and my sister-in-law said to me afterwards, you need to do this as a job. And I thought, okay, yeah, maybe. And then, you know, a little while down the track, the stars aligned. I was looking at courses. It was coming up. I did the course, and here I am.
So what's involved with the course? How long does it take to do?
It's a certificate course, mm-hmm. and I guess a lot of RTOs do them differently, but the one that I did it as did a three-day sort of intensive. So mm-hmm. you go for 3 days, 9 to 5, and so it's one-on-one with your instructor. Mm-hmm. And then after that you do, I think it was around 20 assignments. So you do that on your own bat. You do have deadlines.
What sort of topics sort of do they cover?
A lot of it is the legalities. Mm. So they'll give you a lot of scenarios and you need to work them out and from the Marriage Act, you know, work out what you would do if you were faced with something like that. Because there is a lot, and you would just, your mind would boggle at the scenarios that do come up with, you know, brides and grooms and birth certificates and people who are from overseas. And, you know, there's just so much to it. And the scenarios can be quite complicated. So to be able to have a scenario put in front of you and know and be able to, you know, go back to your what you've learned and apply that is really important. A lot of legalities, but also too we talk about, and part of the course is also funerals as well, so we talk about a lot about communication, communicating with, you know, and of course we've got this dichotomy between, you know, beautiful, happy brides and grooms, and then we have families who are grieving. And so there are a lot of scenarios that they'll put in front of you as far as, you know, what you might be faced with.
There might be some families grieving at weddings as well, I'd imagine. Well,
that's right. Well, they say that weddings and funerals bring out the worst in people, and that can happen. And you can often be confronted, particularly with people who are grieving, you can often be confronted with, you know, quite high emotion. You know, you have to, like the other girls were talking about, you need to tap into the people, to their vibe. Tap into their family and try and sort of pick where you can come in and, you know, calm things down. So it's very much about reading people.
Do you still say, does anyone object to this wedding? You know, in the movies they say that. They still, do you actually say that?
No, we don't. We don't invite that sort of, no. We don't go there.
We used to do that, or is that just a Hollywood thing?
No, I think that it was.
It was real, was it?
I'm pretty sure it was, particularly in the churches. I think that was something that you did say. Oh. And that's interesting because there are still things that people want said in their ceremony and then others that don't. For example, if somebody's giving you away, you know, there was always that question that you ask, who gives this bride or who gives Mary or whatever. Yeah. And a lot of brides and grooms are now opting not to have that because they feel like it's a little bit old fashioned.
Well, it is. You know, the history of it. Don't get me started with it.
That's right.
Because the daughter was the property of the father, and the father couldn't wait to get rid of her so he didn't have to look after her and passed her off to someone else, like a slave.
Right. So, you know, you can imagine that in this day and age that would be something that a lot of people don't want to do.
The other thing is a lot of people writing their own vows now.
Oh, absolutely. All the time. And a really nice thing about, and I'm doing this with a bride and groom at the moment, is they're writing their vows, but they're keeping them secret from each other until the day.
Oh, to get the natural reaction. So, that's right. And when you get the photo, it can be real.
Yeah, authentic. So that's really beautiful.
That's cool, isn't
that's
it?
A great way to do it. And but you know, then you have other brides and grooms are saying, oh, no, you know, you write them, you do them.
Well, with your background as a copywriter, and I know that's where I knew you from, and you're a very, very good copywriter.
Thank you.
You underestimated when you said you had a background as a writer, and I think that adding that skill set into a wedding celebrant now where you can actually advise them about their vows and help them with the writing side of it, but also with funerals. Have you done any funerals yet?
Yes. Yes, oh. I have. Yeah. And they're a whole different
ball completely. Game. And yeah. how many weddings have you done?
I've done one.
Yeah.
And then
you've got a few more booked.
I've got one coming up this weekend and then another in a couple of weeks and then another couple in the new year, early in the new year. So it's really exciting. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Yeah.
That is exciting. Yeah. Well, hold that thought because I want to pick your brains a bit further. Mm. As with my other three guests today, we are talking about the business of weddings. And we hope you're enjoying eavesdropping on this fascinating conversation today here on Taking Care of Business. And we'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. If you recognise that tune, that was Midnight Oil and that's Wedding Cake Island, because we are talking about weddings today. And I have here four expert guests who are sharing their knowledge with us today. We have Tash Bathers from Toast Bathers, Mathers. I've got bathers in my head. Mathers, bathers. You bathers said, bathers. See, it popped in my head.
That's from my mother-in-law.
Your mother-in-law said that you says bathers. I've gone, Tash, Mathers, bathers. That's how I'm going to remember your name. Anyway, there you go. Everyone else is going to remember it now. Tash from Toast Magazine and Anne Scott Virtue from White Shutter Photography. We have Shay Osborne from Nirvana in Sorrento and Linda Sutty, who's our wedding celebrant. A new wedding celebrant.
Yes.
So these weddings, Linda, that you've got coming up, you've done one.
Yes.
So how was that, your first one? Was it completely nerve-wracking or were you quite calm? What was the experience like?
There is a mixture of nerves and excitement. I was lucky with my first wedding that the groom I'd known for a long time.
Okay.
And the bride and groom together were really chilled. Really relaxed, and that helped me relax well. But it's funny that, you know, the groom, I'd always known him as fairly matter of fact and, you know, down the line. And when we were talking about things, he was going like, yep, okay, let's do this, this, this and this. And on the day he had his daughter was the flower girl and she came walking up the aisle and or down the aisle and he started to get teary.
Ah.
And it sort of took me by surprise.
Yeah, so how do you manage yourself in that situation?
Well, deep breathing and, look, you know what, just really getting into the moment. I don't think anybody thinks that a celebrant should be, you know, stony-faced and not show any emotion. On the contrary, I think that a celebrant that shows emotion is what you want on the day.
Yeah, because you don't want it to be like a factory, you know, or manufactured and just go, oh, yeah, another wedding tick off the list. It's a really big day and very personalised.
Absolutely, and that's what, you know, the other girls were talking about, that weddings have changed so much. And I think from what you were talking about, you probably got married the same time that I did.
No, I've never been married.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, all right, maybe you attended weddings.
I've attended hundreds of weddings.
Where?
I'm a professional wedding guest. I've been bridesmaid a couple of times.
Right.
So, but I'm a professional wedding guest.
There you go.
Yes.
So you
I've
will
seen
know
lots of
that
weddings.
Back in the day, we might be talking 20, 30 years ago now, it was very much, this is what you do. Mm. And I know myself, there are so many things I did in my own wedding that I wish I'd done differently and I wish I'd done for myself. I was in this thing where I think Anne was saying that you do things that other people expect you to do or you even put those expectations on yourself, even to the point of what you should be wearing. And, you know, I mean, if I was to get married today, it'd be so different.
I think that's totally correct. And I think a lot of couples embrace that now. And I, in any initial consultation, I say to them, you know, there's going to be an awful lot of family pressures and friends and stuff like that, you know. If you go and try on dresses and, you know, you bring your best friends and it's all great fun, but everyone has an opinion and it will confuse you. And so I say to them, you know what, if it gets to that point, just leave them at home and just go on your own. And you know, if you don't share what you're planning on doing, no one can give their opinion about it. And you have to embrace and really sit down and think about what, you know, defines you as a couple and what is it that you want to do and what is important to you. It's not about pleasing other people and it's not about the big shebang and it's not about the big party. It's about two people making a commitment to each other. And at the end of the day, if your husband-to-be rocks up in, you know, board shorts and you rock up in a potato sack, it's not about that. It's really not about that. It's about making a commitment and committing yourself to each other for the rest of your life and celebrating that love and everything else that surrounds it is just fluff that comes with it.
And do you know how many weddings you've actually been a photographer for?
I'll probably be reaching about 100.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And have you noticed an increase in this renewal of wedding vows? I've certainly seen it. Maybe I've just seen more than the average. But have you noticed an increase in that?
I haven't done any vow renewals, but I do shoot quite a lot of elopements, which I personally love.
Yeah.
I did kind of a bit of an elopement for ourselves, but I do love. There's quite a different vibe that comes with elopements because it is just the two people, and you know I was lucky enough to be even a witness for a couple. It was literally they got married by a waterfall, and it was just myself, the videographer, the celebrant, and the couple, and the videographer and myself. We actually ended up signing their certificate and being their witness, and so there's definitely an increase in elopements because I think there is a lot of people that, you know, sit down and do that and really, you know, try and think about what is important to them, and, you know, they don't want the big party and that
very,
sort of stuff.
It's very stressful, but not only that, and let's talk about the elephant in the room, I think, and I've had a few questions sent to me this morning through our Taking Care of Business Facebook page, and one of them is, and I think this is the elephant in the room, why are weddings so expensive?
Look, I think there's a lot of vendors within the wedding industry that do, you know, do highway robbery.
Because you sort of hear these tips, you know, you ring up and you want to book a band, for instance, but you don't tell them it's a wedding because if you say the word wedding, they'll add more money. Is that true or is that just a myth?
Look, I think for the most part, we're actually a really good industry and there's a lot of really good people in the industry. I can use my husband as an example. Like, he had no idea how much work is actually involved, for instance, for a wedding photographer. A lot of people, you know, just look at the price tag and go, oh my God, you're just coming for one day taking some photos. Like, why do you charge so much? But it's not just that. And you have to remember, running a business, there's a lot of cost involved. You know, you have to pay insurance. I have to pay for equipment, you know, software updates. I have to run a car. I have to have internet. I sit down and have to, you know, communicate with people. I have to do advertising. I have to put food on the table. You know, I might want to go on a holiday myself as well. So there's a lot involved when it comes to running a business and being a vendor in the wedding industry.
I think also on that note, there's a few wedding vendors that might be mavericks and hike up their price just to see that opportunity to cash in, but I think that's a very, very small proportion of the wedding industry. And I think with, you know, the day and age we live in with social media, those people can't really get away with it anymore because people report, you know, there's no secrets anymore.
Yeah.
But I think what Anne touched on, so much more work goes into creating, you know, your beautiful day for your wedding day. It's not just rock up, shoot, download photos, hand it over. It's not, you know, wedding, you have trials with your makeup. There's a lot of time and effort writing the ceremonies and so forth.
Yeah, that I would agree with that, absolutely. I know people who have come to weddings and said to the celebrant, oh, what a great job. You come here, you're here for about an hour, if that, you say some lovely things and then you're off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've sort of calculated that for a wedding for a celebrant anyway, it's about 10 hours work. And that depends a lot on, you know, the kind of ceremony they want. You know, there's so many different things that you have to, and as you say, equipment, insurance. You know, I don't know about photographers, but, you know, I'm a member of the AFCC, so there's that sort of thing, being a member of an organisation, which is good for your own business, obviously, and for your clients. So we have to have a PA system, so we have to buy that, and that's not cheap. Insurances and all that sort of thing. So you're absolutely right, there is a lot of work, and particularly I know, Anne, you know, you've got to go out and see your clients, and you can spend up to a couple of hours chatting to them, and as much fun that it is, it's still work.
I think too that it's not just, you're not just organizing a party or a christening. This is for a lot of women, it's a dream day, and they've been planning it since they were 10 years old. And a lot of them, yes, can be bridezillas and have high expectations. But I think in reality, as wedding vendors, I think we're professionals, we're experts. And I know from the coordinating side of things, there's a lot of behind the scenes things that go wrong. And we're saving the day. And also with hair and makeup, like, I personally stay right until the bride is complete in her dress, because the last element before she walks out the door is putting in her veil. And there's a lot of people that don't do things like that. But I think for us here as a small team and part of the Toast community, we really do go that extra mile. And it's not necessarily about what you are receiving in a payment, but the fact that we're professionals, we're experienced, and we can assure the bride and groom that they're going to have the best day.
Oh, I love that. Isn't that nicely said, Linda?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And from a celebrant's point of view, as you said earlier, Jackie, you can't get married without one.
No, that's right.
We have legal obligations. There's documentation that has to be filled out. And, you know, it's got to be accurate because if you make a mistake, you can void a marriage.
Well, we talked about your background as a copywriter, a professional copywriter, which helps with that. But you also have had a background as a PA. So you'd be very organised, I'm assuming.
Yes. Yeah, I'm probably a little bit obsessive when it comes to that.
But it's pretty important paperwork. Well, you need to get all that stuff sorted out.
And I mean, I'm one for checklists. I've got so many checklists for every, you know, part of the ceremony before, during, after. And it's checking and rechecking and it's really important. It's their big day.
Have you noticed that more people are getting married outside of churches, or are people still getting married in chapels and churches? Was there any particular trend in that area?
I think it's pretty even. There are people that obviously want to follow their religious views and want to get married in a chapel or a church. At the same time, there's a lot of people that want to get married under a beautiful arbor, you know, overlooking the ocean. I wouldn't say there is a trend. And to be honest, like I enjoy shooting in a beautiful, you know, massive church just as much as I enjoy shooting in a tiny little country chapel or, you know, standing on top of a clifftop. I think it's if that's what the couple is about, if that's what they want to do, then they should embrace that. So yeah, definitely. But I was just going to say, color coordinated spreadsheets become your best friend if you're in this industry. You need to be organized.
Well, we need to be organized and pay some our dear sponsors. So we're going to take a very short break, and you're listening Smarter Not Harder here on Taking Care of Business, only on RPFM. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. We are talking about weddings today, and that was White Wedding by Billy Idol. Actually, I heard a funny joke the other day. What do you call an out-of-work goat? Billy Idol. So, when you laugh, that's good. I like people that laugh at my jokes. Actually, it wasn't mine. I heard it on the news or something. It does make me laugh. Now, white weddings, do people still get married in white now? Anne, who's our expert photographer today from White Shutter Photography, do you see different colours? Or
I haven't actually had a bride that wore white.
Oh, there we go.
I think ivory is the way to go.
Ah, okay. So versions of white.
Yeah, versions of white. Yeah. There's some brides that, you know, embrace a golden sparkly gown, or there's some coloured gowns out there, which are really cool.
Because that's actually changed a lot, hasn't it? I suppose if you're looking at trends over the time.
Yeah.
And I'm joined here today by our wedding celebrant, Linda Sutty, Shay Osborne from Nirvana, Sorrento, Tash Mathers Not Bathers from Toast Magazine, and Anne Scott Virtue from White Shutter Photography. Shay, do brides still have trials? You know, we talked about, you know, makeup, hair trials and things, and how important is that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important. It's basically a very detailed form that we fill out. We ask a lot of questions before we even actually touch their hair or face with hair or makeup. Mm. Reason being that a lot of people, as well as choosing your dress, they have a specific look in mind, and that's where we nut it out. So at Nirvana, we take the time. It's a two-hour appointment where we actually trial a few styles. You know, it's not just they bring in a picture and let's mimic that. Yeah. It's let's personalize it. Let's make you look your best. And I think it's extremely important.
It's a really serious business from all elements of it. Linda Sutty, do you do rehearsals?
Definitely. Yeah. Yes, definitely. Always recommend them because a wedding is like choreography, even down to where the couple want the celebrant to stand, for example. Some of them don't want the celebrant in between them. For photos. They don't want the celebrant in the photo, so they might want them over to the side. Even down to if the bride has somebody giving her away, the way it's done. It's not just a matter of sort of dumping the bride next to the groom and taking off. There's the shaking the groom's hand and then guiding the bride towards the groom. It can be very choreographed, but it can be very simple as well. And that's why you need a rehearsal to nut out what the couple want.
The white wedding, it was quite a set formula. As a professional wedding guest myself, I could go to the same one over and over again, and those that always did a little bit different, you'd go, oh my god, that's memorable. And now I think everyone's really starting to put their own twist on it. Shay, would that be right?
With how and it's beautiful. Some of the weddings that we are blessed to see, especially the pop-up style with marquees and florist styling, it's just divine. The bride is really taking their love story and putting it on display.
I think with the advent of social media, it's opened up a whole world of wedding ideas and inspiration for our couples.
Yeah, of course. So they'd be on Pinterest looking for ideas.
Instagram. It's a wealth of fabulous ideas. You can, as I've done myself, got lost for hours on Pinterest.
Yeah, it's almost become an extension of their own personal brand, if I was to put a brand spin on it. Now I'm thinking about it. Absolutely. Because everyone's wanting this sort of unique mark. Are you finding that, Anne, when you're taking photos?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone wants to, you know, have their individual story told and, you know, putting their own spin on it. And Instagram and Pinterest, it's like it's junk food for your brain. Like you just go down a rabbit hole and, you know, you find all these things and, you know, all of a sudden you've been on Pinterest for an hour and you created 15 boards of, you know, all these different things that you want to do. And, you know, and that sort of leads in when you go for your hair and makeup trial and, you know, you rock up with all these inspiration photos and you think, oh my God, this is what I'm going to do. But to sort of lead way what you were talking about before, you know, if a bride comes in and she's a very natural kind of girl and doesn't really wear a lot of makeup in her normal day-to-day life, but then she comes in and goes, oh my God, I want to look like Kim Kardashian for my wedding day. And I always say to them that, you know, really think about who you are and be true to yourself, because at the end of the day, you don't want to get to the end of the aisle and your husband-to-be doesn't recognize you because you look like someone completely different.
Yes, definitely.
So I always, say that if you do a hair makeup trial, for instance, also is do that on a day and then come and see me and we'll do a little trial, like an engagement shoot. The amount of time that I've heard that, oh my God, I'm going to be so awkward in the photos. I hate having my photograph taken. It's not going to work out for me. I think I'd be a millionaire if I take a dollar every time I hear this. But then you do that and they walk away and they feel so confident with themselves and they see how I work and how we work together, and you start building that relationship, and that will help them bring out their individuality on the day.
I have to say, my husband and I did a photo shoot, an engagement photo shoot effectively with our photographer. And the bonus was that on the wedding day, we were so relaxed and we actually didn't feel like we were being photographed. And we have sensational images for life. But yeah, I think the bonus for us doing the engagement photo shoot was that on the day, we knew what was coming. And if anything, we weren't nervous. It was great.
And that's really good business advice. Practice, practice, practice. I wish more businesses would practice their business practices. And then they wouldn't get so surprised about these things.
That's the other thing too, from my point of view. In the days when people were getting married more in churches, and it happened at my wedding, you would just go and have your wedding and your ceremony, and the priest would just say whatever he wanted to say.
Yeah.
We had no input whatsoever and we didn't expect to have input. Whereas now it's a really important part of the ceremony, and that's where, you know, talking to your couple and getting their stories really important.
Do brides have their going away outfit? That's very old-fashioned. Well, I don't know if they still do it. Maybe it's come back into fashion now.
They're going away is like when they're leaving the...
Well, yeah. Also, yeah. There you go. And as you could probably tell, is a lot younger than me. At weddings, when I was, you know, in my early 20s, going to weddings, they'd have the big wedding dress.
Yep.
And then in the reception, they would come, they'd change into another outfit. So it'd be called their going away outfit, which would be like a nice suit or...
Yep.
Yeah. Do they change or do they stay in their dress all day?
No, they do. I had a fabulous wedding last weekend, actually, and the bride is actually an actor and performer, and she's also a fabulous dancer, and she choreographed this amazing first dance, and she had the most beautiful dress. Like, the train was just incredibly long, and I'm like, you can't dance in this. And she goes, oh, no, I have my dancing dress sorted. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we came back in, they did their entrance, and then she went off and quickly got changed, and she came back in this fabulous dancing gown, and they just did the lifts and spins and all kinds of stuff. Wow. So yeah,
just as we get to the end of this show, and unfortunately running out of time because we've got five lovely women, including myself, who like to talk. So we've got lots to talk about. But is it still talking about women? Is it still very much a female-based industry? Do you get involved much with the groom or with, I mean, how much input do they have?
Yeah, well, at Nirvana, we actually have a barbering service. So I felt that there was a little bit missing in the beginning of the men's day. Yes, they can go play golf or go to the pub. But now, in line with photography, there is this amazing experience that they can go down to the barber and get fresh haircuts, cutthroat shaves, so they're and it's all photographed.
If people want to find out more about Nirvana Sorrento, how's the best way to find out?
NirvanaBoutique.com, or our hashtag is Nirvana Boutique on Instagram.
Ah, so she knows her stuff. Linda Sutty, if people want to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, my website is LindaSuttyCelebrant.com.
And social media?
Social media, Instagram and Facebook.
Excellent. Tash Mathers Bathers from Toast.
We've got a special offer at the moment. If you'd like to jump on our website, toastmorningtonpeninsula.com.au. Yes, it's a long one. If you just contact us and send us an email with your address, we'll post you out a free copy of our gorgeous current edition of Toast Wedding Magazine.
Yes, it is wonderful.
Which is specifically for the Mornington Peninsula, but we've had brides getting married in the Yarra Valley that used it as their Bible.
Those listening, we will do Facebook Live after this show, so go on to Facebook now. We'll be there in a minute and we'll show you what this wonderful magazine looks like. And Scott Virtue from White Shutter Photography, thanks for coming down today from Melbourne to our show. And where can people find you?
Website is whiteshutterphotography.com and Instagram is exactly the same. It's white_shutter_photography.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you everyone today for a great show. Went quickly, doesn't it? And this song, I don't know if you can hear in the background, is an old song by Freda Payne. It's called Band of Gold, and I thought that was appropriate to finish the show today. We hope that you feel inspired and learn something new. We look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business.